been called to open blind eyes to set the captive free.
Welcome to His Word Heals. You can also visit us online at www.hiswordheals.com for all of our past programs as well as part one of today's message. Today is part two of the message regarding the thief in the night. We're going to start a few minutes before where we left off last week, just for context, and then toward the end of this message, we'll also talk about false prophets, which may be part of the thief in the night, or at least part of facilitating the thief in the night to come upon those that are unaware. Then in our next message, we will be looking at a yoke of iron and the redeemed firstborn of Yahweh. Please go to our website again at www.hiswordheals.com and sign up for our email notifications, and you'll know as soon as this next message comes out. Job 24:13 through 17 says, "They are of those that rebel against the light. They know not the ways thereof, nor abide in the paths thereof. The murderer, rising with the light, kills the poor and the needy, and in the night is as a thief. The eye also of the adulterer waits for twilight, saying, 'No eye shall see me,' and disguises his face. In the dark they dig through houses which they had marked for themselves in the daytime. They know not the light. For the morning is to them even as the shadow of death. If one know them, they are in the terrors of the shadow of death." So here in Job, he talks about a thief in the night, breaking into houses and murdering, etc. Then Jeremiah 49, starting in verse 7, is about judgment on Edom, which is Esau, which the Jews have historically believed were the Western nations, and specifically Rome or the Catholic Church, but now also all Western nations, which grew out of the Roman and Grecian empires. As I read verses 7 through 22, listen for the revelation language that you hear also in the book of Revelation. Jeremiah 49, starting in verse 7. "Concerning Edom, thus says Yahweh of hosts, is wisdom no more in Teman? Has counsel perished from the prudent? Has their wisdom vanished? Flee, turn back, dwell in the depths, O inhabitants of Dedan, for I will bring the calamity of Esau upon him, the time when I punish him. If grape gatherers came to you, would they not leave gleanings? If thieves came by night, would they not destroy only enough for themselves? But I have stripped Esau bare, I have uncovered his hiding places, and he is not able to conceal himself. His children are destroyed, and his brothers, and his neighbors, and he is no more. Leave your fatherless children, I will keep them alive, and let your widows trust in me. For thus says Yahweh, if those who did not deserve to drink the cup must drink it, will you go unpunished? You should not go unpunished, but you must drink." Sound familiar? Judgment will leave Esau as orphans and widows and will be made to drink a cup of judgment. Revelation chapter 18, verses 1 through 9. "After this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was made bright with his glory. And he called out with a mighty voice, 'Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling place for demons, a haunt for every unclean spirit, a haunt for every unclean bird, a haunt for every unclean and detestable beast. For all nations have drunk the wine of the passion of her sexual immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have grown rich from the power of her luxurious living.' Then I heard another voice from heaven saying, 'Come out of her, my people, lest you take part in her sins, and lest you share in her plagues. For her sins are heaped up high as heaven, and Elohim has remembered her iniquities. Pay her back as she herself has paid back others, and repay her double for her deeds. Mix a double portion for her in the cup she mixed. As she glorified herself and lived luxury, so give her like measure of torment and mourning, since in her heart she says, 'I sit as a queen, I am no widow, and mourning I shall never see. For this reason, her plagues will come in a single day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be burned up with fire. For mighty is Yahweh Elohim, who has judged her. And the kings of the earth who committed sexual immorality and lived in luxury with her will weep and wail over her when they see the smoke of her burning. So now, continuing on in Jeremiah chapter 49 with verse 13. For I have sworn by myself, declares Yahweh, that Bozra shall become a horror, a taunt, a waste, and a curse, and all her cities shall be perpetual wastes. Sounds a lot like what I just read in Revelation, doesn't it? I have heard a message from Yahweh, and an envoy has been sent among the nations. Gather yourselves together and come against her and rise up for battle. For behold, I will make you small among the nations, despised among mankind. The horror you inspire has deceived you, and the pride of your heart, you who live in the clefts of the rock, who hold the height of the hill. Though you make your nest as high as the eagles, I will bring you down from there, declares Yahweh. Remember this verse about them living in clefts of the rocks and being brought down from nests as high as eagles' nests. And I'm going to read another passage about thieves in the night, which talks about this very same judgment on obviously the same people. Continuing on, Jeremiah 49:17. Edom shall become a horror. Everyone who passes by it will be horrified and will hiss because of all of its disasters. Again, I just read this in Revelation 18, how the kings of the earth will weep and wail over her destruction. Continuing on in verse 18 of Jeremiah 49, as when Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighboring cities were overthrown, says Yahweh, no man shall dwell there, no man shall sojourn in her. Behold, like a lion coming up from the jungle of the Jordan against the perennial pasture, I will suddenly make him run away from her, and I will appoint over her whomever I choose. For who is like me? Who will summon me? What shepherd can stand before me? Therefore hear the plan that Yahweh has made against Edom, and the purposes that he has formed against the inhabitants of Teman. Even the little ones of the flock shall be dragged away. Surely their fold shall be appalled at their fate. At the sound of their fall, the earth shall tremble. The sound of their cry shall be heard at the Red Sea. Behold, one shall mount up and fly swiftly like an eagle and spread his wings against Bozra. And the heart of the warriors of Edom shall be in that day like the heart of a woman in her birth pains. Birth pains, too. The Jeremiah 49 passage we just read is through verse 22. Then verse 23 turns to the judgment of Damascus. As promised, remembering Jeremiah 49 verse 16 about the judgment against them that live in the clefts of the rock and as high as eagles' nests, as well as the thieves by night in verse 9, remember to listen for Revelation language here as well. We're going to read Obadiah chapter 1, which there's only one chapter, verses 1 through 18. The vision of Obadiah, thus says Yahweh Elohim concerning Edom. We have heard a report from Yahweh, and a messenger has been sent among the nations. Rise up, let us rise against her for battle. Sounds the same as what we just read in Jeremiah 49. Behold, I will make you small among the nations. You shall be utterly despised. The pride of your heart has deceived you, you who live in the clefts of the rock, in your lofty dwelling, who say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground? Though you soar aloft like the eagle, though your nest is set among the stars, from there I will bring you down, declares Yahweh. If thieves came to you, if plunderers came by night, thieves in the night, how you have been destroyed. Would they not steal only enough for themselves? If grape gatherers came to you, would they not leave gleanings? How Esau has been pillaged, his treasures sought out. All your allies have driven you to your border. Those at peace with you have deceived you. They have prevailed against you. Those who eat your bread have set a trap beneath you. You have no understanding. Will I not on that day, declares Yahweh, destroy the wise men out of Edom and the understanding out of Mount Esau? And your mighty men shall be dismayed, O Teman, so that every man from Mount Esau will be cut off by slaughter. Because of the violence done to your brother Jacob, shame shall cover you, and you shall be cut off forever. On the day that you stood aloof, on the day that strangers carried off his wealth and foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, you were like one of them. But do not gloat over the day of your brother in the day of his misfortune. Do not rejoice over the people of Judah in the day of their ruin. Do not boast in the day of distress. Do not enter the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Do not gloat over his disaster in the day of his calamity. Do not loot his wealth in the day of his calamity. Do not stand at the crossroads to cut off his fugitives. Do not hand over his survivors in the day of distress. For the day of Yahweh is near upon all nations. As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your deeds shall return on your own head. As you have drunk on my holy mountain, so all the nations shall drink continually. They shall drink and swallow, and shall be as though they had never been. But in Mount Zion there shall be those who escape, and it shall be holy, and the house of Jacob shall possess their own possessions. The house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau stubble. They shall burn them and consume them, and there shall be no survivor for the house of Esau, for Yahweh has spoken. This concept of Yeshua coming as a thief in the night in 1 Thessalonians and Revelation then appears to be specifically referring to the judgment that is coming upon end times Esau, the great horror or mystery Babylon, which, as we have shown in the past, is most likely the Western nations and specifically the United States as the physical headquarters of the harlot world government, United Nations. This judgment will also be on the harlot religion, as well as the harlot political system. This mystery entity is referred to as a harlot, which is a person. Persons have three parts: body, soul, and spirit. This end times harlot will have a physical location, or body, that will be judged, as well as a soul, or political system, that will be judged, and spirit, or religious system, that will be judged and destroyed. We are told to watch so that this destruction will not also come upon us as a thief in the night, like it will on those that are part of this Esau harlot, who is not watching or longing for his return to set up his righteous kingdom. We don't want to be caught sleeping or unprepared, as the five foolish virgins were. Let us not be lulled to sleep by proclamations of peace and safety, or scoffers who tell us we are wasting our time and lives looking for his soon return. Let us be found instead watching and looking for the signs he is giving us, both in the heavens and in the news, as well as in Scripture. We must have the patience of the saints and not give up on our bridegroom just because something didn't happen on those days when we were watching wondrous signs in the heavens. They were just that: warning signs, wake-up calls. Destruction should not happen on the day of the signs, should it? Would that really give us time to prepare, especially if we didn't have modern communications which allow us to know ahead of time when these signs are going to occur? No, historically, signs happen first as warnings, which are to be followed later by the judgments if those warning signs are not heeded through repentance. How much later? We don't know. But we are told he is long-suffering, not wanting any to perish. So we need to keep blowing the shofar to wake as many people up as we can before it's too late and his judgment overtakes them, and us if we are not found watching, as a thief in the night. We certainly don't want to be found listening to false prophets who cry out peace and safety, because that is when we are told sudden destruction will come upon us as a thief in the night. Consider Jeremiah chapter 14, verses 13 through 16. Then I said, "Ah, Yahweh Elohim, behold, the prophets say to them, 'You shall not see the sword, nor shall you have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place.' And Yahweh said to me, 'The prophets are prophesying lies in my name. I did not send them, nor did I command them to speak to them. They are prophesying to you a lying vision, worthless divination, and the deceit of their own minds. Therefore, thus says Yahweh concerning the prophets who prophesy in my name, although I did not send them, and who say, sword and famine shall not come upon this land, by sword and famine those prophets shall be consumed. And the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem, victims of famine and sword, with none to bury them, them, their wives, their sons, and their daughters, for I will pour out their evil upon them. Could those in the mega movement be considered false prophets, preaching that if we just elect enough conservatives and if we re-elect Trump, everything will be okay? We just need to get the Democrats out and take back our country, right? Or on the other side, they preach that all of our problems started with Trump because he's too radical. We've got the progressive green agenda folks who plan to save the world with their Great Reset and climate initiatives, but then we also have those promoting the Great Conservative Reset, Natsara and Gasara, which are essentially debt forgiveness and the conservative restructuring of American society. There's a video online from back in 2022 where in one of those church revival tours, the leaders of this convention in a church had the congregation recite what they call the Watchman Decree. The printed decree can still be found online at flashpoint.govictory.com. This decree starts out with the phrase, as a patriot of faith, I attest my allegiance first and foremost to the kingdom of God and the Great Commission. Secondly, I agree to be a watchman over our nation concerning its people and their rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But then if you keep reading, this watchman decree also contains declarations such as the following. Whereas we are God's ambassadors and spokespeople over the earth, whereas through the power of God we are the world influencers, whereas because of our covenant with God we are equipped and delegated by Him to destroy every attempted advance of evil. Further down, we decree that America's executive branch of government will honor God and defend the Constitution. We decree that our legislative branch, Congress, will write only laws that are righteous and constitutional. We decree that our judicial system will issue rulings that are biblical and constitutional. We declare that we stand against wokeness, the occult, and every evil attempt against our nation. We declare that we now take back our God-given freedoms according to our Constitution. We decree that we take back and permanently control positions of influence and leadership in each of the seven mountains. And down at the bottom is a footnote that says the seven mountains of influence include media, business, finance, family, education, politics, arts, entertainment, and religion. Then it goes on to say, we decree that the blood of Jesus covers and protects our nation. It protects and separates us for God. We declare that our nation is energy independent. We declare that America is strong spiritually, financially, militarily, and technologically. Then down to the very bottom, and we shall decree that America shall be saved. We know this country was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. We know the truth. Therefore, we stand for truth and will never be deceived. We will never stop fighting. We will never, ever give up or give in. We will take our country back. We will honor the one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. America shall be saved, is how this Watchman decree ends. Question, is it really part of Yahweh's plan to save the U.S. because we decree it? While they proclaim being against wokeness in the decree, how many of those people in the church audience who were reciting this Watchman decree have committed fornication, premarital sex, and/or adultery, divorce, and remarriage? Don't get me wrong, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we must truly repent and turn from these and other sins which are running just as rampant in our churches today as they are in society at large. I'm sure many of the members of these churches making these declarations are probably still sending their children to the public indoctrination centers called public schools and colleges and yet they wonder why their children are leaving faith in God and turning woke or worse. Could making this declaration in a church setting be considered prophesying falsely? Or could it simply be a profession of faith? Shouldn't they possibly include a phrase such as Yeshua used in his example of prayer? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I don't see anywhere in Scripture that says his kingdom is a democracy. However, his kingdom does have a constitution, and that is the Torah. Our constitution may have been originally based upon the Torah, but when those that agreed to be governed by a man written document based upon Yahweh's word quit reading and living by the book that this document was supposedly based upon, then that man-made document becomes no longer worth the paper it was written on, and no amount of recited decrees by us in a church setting without returning to all of his word will save us as a nation. So, in closing, let us keep diligently watching and blowing the shofar of repentance and our Messiah and King's soon return. Let us not slumber or sleep, but always be prepared so that we are not caught unaware when he returns as a thief in the night to those who are not watching and have not washed their garments in the blood of the Lamb to become part of his spotless bride. Yes, the three eclipses that passed over many Ninevehs, Salems, Little Egypt, and more are all behind us, and nothing catastrophic has happened yet. May 18th is the 40th day after the last eclipse, and Nineveh was given 40 days to repent. Yeshua said, "This wicked generation seeks a sign, but one will not be given except the sign of Jonah." Could the sign of Jonah for our generation be a 40-day grace period in which to repent before destruction starts? If so, could that 40 days have started on April 8th and end May 18th, with the next day, May 19th, being the church's day of Pentecost, or 50 days after Easter, which this year is a month before the actual day of Passover, when Yeshua was actually crucified as our Passover lamb? The church celebrating May 19th as Pentecost certainly makes that day a good date for judgment to start. Or how about, could a 40-day countdown to judgment start with the actual true counting of the Omer, which starts the eve of the Feast of First Fruits, which represents the day Yeshua rose after being in the belly of the earth 3 days and three nights, like Jonah was in the belly of the fish? If so, then those 40 days would begin April 28th with the first day of the Omer and end on June 6th this year, which is Erev Sivan 1, meaning it's the last day of the second month, and June 7th is the first day of the month of Sivan, or the third month. This, of course, is 10 days before the actual day of Shavuot or Pentecost, even though, again, the church's Pentecost, or 50 days after Easter, was May 19th, or will be May 19th. Or could the last 40 days of repentance begin on the first day of the sixth month, the month of Elul, which is the traditional month of repentance that begins the 40-day countdown, which leads to Yom Kippur, the day of judgment and or atonement? Elul 1 this year is September 4th, and Yom Kippur is October 10th. Days to watch this year when judgment may begin then could be May 18th or 19th, June 6th or 7th, and October 10th or 11th. One thing is for sure, as the old saying goes, if God doesn't judge the U.S., will he need to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah and the ancient land of Israel as well? I say all of this just to encourage us all to have the patience of the saints, to keep watching, to keep blowing the shofar, to keep our garments washed in the blood of the Lamb, to keep them spotless, to be eagerly waiting and watching for our King's soon return, for the bridegroom to call for his bride. Let's never give up, let's never fall asleep, and let us never be scoffers. And Abba, we pray that you do not come upon us as a thief in the night. Blessings and shalom to all of you and everyone in your home.
No longer bound by fear, His kingdom's drawing near. This is our time to arise.